Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that promotes recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. First segment of our show, we'll hear from Vic McClelland, who'll be telling us a little bit about Alberta Amputee Sports. Tell me a little bit about Alberta Amputee Sports.
The organization was founded in the mid-70s. Basically, there really was no support for new amputees to help other amputees who were going through amputation. So a bunch of people got together and decided to create an organization where they could just provide assistance to other amps. And over the years, it's developed into a organization that provides funding for people who want to pursue athletic pursuits and recreation.
So
more so to get people off the couch, you know, get them active again.
So, what types of sports are included in the programs?
Just about anything. We have volleyball, cycling, kayaking, sailing, swimming, just about any sport that people want to pursue, either competitively, or we also provide support for people who gym memberships and things like that. So the main idea was to get people out and get them active.
So how do you go about spreading the word about this work?
Well, we have our own website, www.aasra.ab.ca, which is for ASRA. We attend different events and try to get our name out that way. We do support group at a couple of the hospitals in Edmonton and in Calgary once a month for new amputees, and we also do peer support. We're in constant contact with a lot of prosthetic organizations, people who do orthotics and prosthetics in Alberta, and they know of us and have been really good at promoting that so that people have an idea that we are available to help. We do peer one-on-one meetings with new amps in hospitals and things like that to try to get them through the process.
So would this include directing them if they don't know how to go about getting the appropriate prosthetic?
Well, a lot of the hospitals have amputee clinics. They'll see a doctor and be told, I guess, what type of prosthetic they should be looking at. And then it's up to them to decide which prosthetic or orthotic company they want to go with or see. We don't normally, as part of our support group training, that's one thing that we don't get involved with per se. We don't recommend certain prosthetic companies and things like that. Just from our own experience, some people like a type of knee or a type of socket or a liner, but we try to stay away from that. It's more so we just want amputees to have a place or someone to talk to, and through our funding that we have, we can provide funding for juniors. That's a big part that we're really trying to get through. And stress right now is we have a junior program where we specifically take part of our budget from funds that we've raised to help young amps under 18 years old. So if they want to go play hockey or soccer or football, we give them money for their registration and things like that so that they have that opportunity.
So can you tell me a little bit about some of the challenges a new amputee might face that you've been able to provide support for?
Well, like most amputees, when amputations can be very traumatic, not only for the amputee, but their families as well. I know when I lost my leg, it was through a vehicle accident, and you just sort of wake up and your leg or your arm is gone. So it's a very emotional time. I wish I had someone to talk to at that time who would have told me what I was probably going to experience over the next year. That first year is pretty, can be traumatic emotionally and physically. So our goal is to try and help people through that period in time.
So to look at the converse side of things, in your time with amputee sports, has there been any success case that stands out for you?
We've had a number of our younger people who have gone on to become para-athletes and things like that, that over the years we helped them when they were younger to attend different events and training and to see them succeed in the sports that they've chosen. And they've done really well. So we've had Jay Milley, who became a para athlete and went on to the Paralympics and things like that. We've had one of our members win medals at the World Kayaking Championships and things like that. So, but we also, it's not just high-end athletes that we try and concentrate on. We have a number of events because it's more of we hold events and clinics where people can get together. It's a very social organization, and that's a big part of it as well.
So if you could send any message to the community about the need for amputee inclusion, what would you say?
I would say that we're there to help support amputees through our support programs. We want people to be active, get out and enjoy their life and not sit at home. One of the struggles I think that we find is that Some amputees don't want to associate with other amputees for whatever reason. They don't. It's not that they don't need us, but we would like them to join us. And you know, the more people that we have, we can share the wealth type thing. We can share our knowledge of being an amputee with other amputees. We enjoy. We'll have a golf tournament, and you'll see people from all parts of the province and make friends. And it's not that we are trying to exclude anyone. It's just that amputees have something in common, the experiences that they've gone through and things like that.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
The Lance Student News is back. We're online at uwindsorlance.com, and we're here to stay. Keep connected to campus with event listings, sports, arts and culture, and politics news. Find CJAM FM's charts, too. Have something to say? Want to write for The Lance? Hit us up at editorthelance@gmail.com and follow us on social media at The Lance News. The Lance Student News, the official University of Windsor student news source you probably didn't know existed.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that promotes recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Vic McClelland from Alberta Amputee Sports. In the segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Bob Cunningham from the NCLD. A little bit about your experiences with the NCLD.
Sure. So my name is Bob Cunningham, and I'm a senior advisor to Understood.org. And Understood is a web environment for parents of kids with learning and attention issues. I've been with Understood since the beginning, helped to develop a lot of its content and to recruit a lot of the original expert team. All of the content on Understood is vetted by experts in the field of learning disabilities or attention deficits or kind of other areas. So I advise on a lot of the content, and I do a lot of the public speaking and things like that around Understood. So that's my role.
So, as you review the content, I'm guessing there's a lot of myths and misconceptions regarding learning disabilities out there. Do you do any work to clear this up through the content posted?
Yeah, we do a lot of work to clear that up. And, you know, at Understood, we are committed to present factual, accurate information in a very clear way. So it's an excellent resource for families because it's written for parents. It is available in both English and Spanish as well. And there are, as you said, a lot of myths out there about what learning disabilities are, what they aren't, what causes them, how best to help kids with learning disabilities. And we address all of that on Understood. Some of the myths that we hit hardest at are things like kids with learning disabilities aren't intelligent. We know that's a myth, right? We know there's no relationship between intelligence and having a learning disability. You can be a very, very intelligent person and still have dyslexia or still have an ADHD or still have any of those conditions. We also hit hard at the myth that kids with learning and attention issues are lazy. There is no relationship between how lazy you are and whether or not you have a learning or attention issue. Most kids, in my experience with learning and attention issues, are very industrious, very hardworking kids who want to do well, but they often need the help and support of caring and informed parents and of caring and informed and talented educators to help them make the most out of their school experiences.
So are there any challenges in putting together the right material for them?
There are challenges. You know, learning disabilities, attention deficits, a lot of those conditions have been shown to have hereditary links. So we had understand that many of the parents who are coming to the site because they have children with learning and attention issues also have learning and attention issues themselves. So we've taken great pains to build a responsive platform so that it functions well with a lot of different kinds of assistive technology. It is accessible easily on a phone or a tablet or a computer. It has a lot of readability tools. It has a great text-to-voice feature on it. The content on Understood is written at a high middle school reading level, so it's easily accessible to people who struggle with reading for all kinds of different reasons. We tried to follow universal design principles as we were building the site and continue to do that kind of work for the site. So we're very attentive to those kinds of things. It's one of the common issues that we encounter with other resources that are out there for learning disabilities is that the resources themselves are not easily accessible to people with learning disabilities.
So to look at the converse side of things, in your time working to put together material for people with learning disabilities, has there been any success moment that you've seen?
Absolutely. We have a very active parent community that uses understood.org. And, you know, if you look through the conversations and things like that on the site itself, amongst and between parents and between parents and professional experts, you will get a sense of the impact, right, that Understood has. And the thing that we hear most from the parents that we speak with are things like, gosh, finally a clear explanation of something, or, you know, those tips or those strategies that you recommended were so easy to implement and so impactful for our family or for our child, that sort of thing. And every time you get one of those messages or every time you see that kind of reference in a chat or in a conversation on the site, it just, you know, reaffirms why we do this and what Understood is all about. It's about providing accurate information to families in a way that they can understand and use immediately for the benefit of themselves and their children. So we get a lot of satisfaction, a lot of gratification out of that, and that's where you'll see most of the evidence for our successes. We also reach about 2.5 million unique visitors each month, so we're the largest provider of this kind of content and information and service to parents of kids with learning and attention issues, so we're proud of that too.
So if you could send any message to the community about what a learning disability really means, what would you say?
I think that I would tell people that learning disabilities are something that you need to be aware of, and that you need to get the proper encouragement and support for, but they don't have to be the sort of life-altering limitations that people often expect them to be. We know that 1 in 5 people in the United States has a learning or attention issue, so these are not uncommon issues. And we know that with well-educated parents who are well-informed about learning and attention issues and are willing to be strong advocates for their children, that makes all the difference for kids with learning and attention issues, and teachers who are knowledgeable and able to respond to their needs. But learning disabilities and learning and attention issues are not a barrier to success in school or in life. What they mean is that you have to be aware and you have to actively problem solve for how to better allow that student or that child to be successful. They have the capability, they can acquire the skills. We need to have high expectations for kids with learning and attention issues because they are able to meet those high expectations when barriers are removed for them and when the adults in their lives are willing to change what they are doing to enable the success of the child.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
I will. Thank you, Cam. I appreciate the opportunity for Understood.
Of course. I'm very glad, folks, that Bob raised the point about the myth concerning learning disabilities and lack of intelligence. Far too often we hear the term disability, we think limitation. We think something that needs to be fixed or modified, or something that can't be done. Truth of the matter is, an individual with learning disability can be highly intelligent and highly successful. When he mentioned about dyslexia, I thought back to someone I met a few years ago, someone with dyslexia who succeeded in a very meaningful and very public way. That person was Henry Winkler. I had a chance not only to get a brief interview with him, this was back before the show, mind you, but he just chatted with me as a person, and no one could argue that he hasn't achieved the type of success that many of us dream of. The fact is, he has a type of disability, and nobody would say he's unintelligent, he's not capable. But the fact is, that's where our mind too often goes when we hear the term. A person with a learning disability simply processes and learns things differently. It is not a matter of being weaker or stronger. It is simply a matter of the way people process. And I've said this over and over again, and I will continue to say it. In disability life, the most important thing is how you reach somebody, finding a way to bust through all those myths and illusions. And I maintain anyone can be reached, no matter what the condition, no matter how severe it might look. If you take enough patience, enough time, and if one thing doesn't work, try something else. But honestly, you can't give up until you find a way to reach that somebody. Now, in the case of learning disabilities, it's most important that you find the teaching tools that can best suit them. They can learn anything. They can process any information. It's just a matter of getting it to them in the right way. And honestly, it's not something you can get rid of. However, it is something you can work with, not necessarily work around. You can have that understanding that says, this is my condition, this is how I learn, this is how I process. How do I match that up with the material that someone's trying to present? And there's a way. There's always a way. And if you're someone with a story of disability life, write handylink4@gmail.com, handylink, and the numeral 4, gmail.com. There is a sad truth to learning disabilities that don't come from the physical ones. They're much harder to perceive in some cases, especially for those in the education system. They may look at somebody who's struggling. They may perceive them as just lazy or unmotivated or what have you. And the truth is, they could want to understand all of what's being presented. It's just not being given to them in a way that they can readily deal with. And yes, the first impulse for a teacher seeing a student struggling or getting behind is to be frustrated. Concerned, yes, but frustration should not enter the equation. It should be a matter of their looking at their own practices and asking, how can I make this universal, not just for the quote-unquote able-minded students, but for those with learning disabilities? Is there a way I can present this to make this something they can understand, something they can work with, and even excel at? But the best thing is always family support. It's always knowing there are people in your corner. I have seen, quite literally, hundreds of people with learning disabilities in my lifetime. And a lot of them have gone on to achieve just amazing things. They have done so very much that no one would have expected. If an educator, for example, says, this one will never make it out of high school, that's not gospel. It's not written in stone. It is simply an opinion. And it's an opinion that sells short the potential of the student and the educators to find a way to reach that common ground. Medical science and education share one thing very important in common, neither one of which is the assembly line. It's not seeing how many people you can diagnose and send on their way in an average day. It's a matter of taking the time and the care to understand the root causes and the effects, how to deal with it. There is a lot of heart that goes into working with those with learning disabilities and any form of disability, really. But if you get the right person with the right understanding, they will help you to succeed. Even if it's just a few words of encouragement here and there, that really can make all the difference. If you've spent your whole life being torn down and told what you can't do, suddenly someone comes along and says, you're capable, you will succeed. First, you might be hesitant to hear it because it doesn't fit into your little box of what the world is. But in time, if you keep an open mind and an open heart, you'll discover that you do have potential. You take one step forward, and you take one more. The journey is made. It doesn't have to be all at once. And it doesn't have to be instant results, instant relief, instant understanding of everything. To expect that of anybody is unrealistic. The truth is, time and care are what it's all about. Even from the earlier interview, when Vic mentioned about new amputees struggling with their limb loss and coming to understand that the world is not over for them, that takes a lot out of a person. It takes a different kind of strength, the courage to see that the world has changed, yes, but it hasn't completely fallen apart. You're alive. You have potential, hopes, dreams, a mind that works, and that mind can overcome anything. And where the mind leads, the body will follow. So, my point is, it's all a question of resolve. Resolve and the right support network. One person tears you down, take it for what it is, a grain of salt. They're not the end-all, be-all authority. Nobody is. Medical science, brilliant as it is, can never factor in the human equation, what an individual might be driven to do, what strength they might hope to find. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal, so get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.